Welcome to The Shared Desk, episode 21.
It's like we haven't missed a beat, you know. It's riding
it's all
a bike.
Pro.
All good, bro. Hey, everybody! Surprise!
You didn't expect to see us.
No one expects us. Oh, I have that as a drop in, but I'm not going to bother about it. It is the Shared Desk. I am T. Morris, also known by my other name,
Blair, formerly known as Mouse Cop, University of Missouri, Columbia.
And over there,
I'm Philippa Valentine.
But you probably know her as
Donkey Teeth, Boise State University.
Daddy's got some new drop-ins.
Why the heck am I Donkey Keith?
Donkey Teeth.
Donkey Teeth.
Oh, shout out to Key and Peele. Shout out to Key and Peele. So, it has been a while, hasn't it?
I can't remember how long.
We're not going to do a catch-up show because we already did the catch-up show, and then, of course, we fell off the rails again.
So, this is just a hi, we're back show.
Yeah. We'll kind of get caught up on what's been going on of late, and we've actually got lined up late-breaking news that happened today as part of our Seriously Seriously, but we're actually going to talk about something that we get a lot about over here at Casa de Morris. You know, when it comes to our stories, No.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, we want to talk a little bit about the market of free,
because it seems to be
the backlash that I have a feeling has been building for quite some time.
We're going to talk about giving it away.
We're going to talk about giving it away. We're going to talk about the pros. We're going to talk about the cons. And we're going to talk about why I think so many people feel really upset that some authors
maybe a little
just
gypped.
Don't want to. Give it away now.
I got a groove when you put that on.
I know. It's hard not to. I'm doing the whole handshake from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Man,
we're
back
old.
In the day. Back in the day.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about that because it's been in...
it's been popping up in the news. It was actually on Gawker today.
But it's also been in the podosphere with the Dead Mech.
Dead Mech. Bible.
Yes, Jake Bible.
And J.C. Hutchins was also mentioned in that same...
Yeah, a few months ago, he said that he wasn't coming back to free podcast fiction.
It just seems, well, with the exception of the lone man, Scott Sigler, who is still, you know, he's still doing it for free and saying that it's working for him. And, you know, bless his heart, if it's working for him, it's working for him.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for everyone.
Well, it's not anymore.
Because different strokes for different folks.
Let's go on ahead and let's get into the Wayback Machine. Okay, let's get back to... I mean, 2005, you know, ought five. It was an interesting time.
This landing is going to get pretty interesting.
Define interesting.
Oh God, we're all going to die?
It was a time we were all on the edge, you know, and this beautiful thing called podcasting came out.
Those heady days.
Yeah. It was good times, but, you know, I remember.
But it was also a bit like the Wild West. Like the Wild West was good times, right?
Yeah. Just talk to the talk to the Holiday Boys about the good times.
But the birth of Podio books, the whole Scott getting his deal with Crown Publishing, those were heady times.
Have I got your attention now?
And yes, I mean it was a good time to be part of at that time, not social media but new media.
Yeah.
And I remember getting a lot of heat because the first time I did Moravi, first time, with zero guest voices, but I did go on ahead and I indulged on sound effects. And
really, you did?
Yes, I did. Yeah, even back in the infancy when I was working with GarageBand.
I'm still working with GarageBand.
There's nothing wrong with GarageBand, but the thing was, I remember people gave me heat because I abridged it. I remember Evo Terra gave me heat because I abridged Moravi.
Have you seen how big that was?
Well, it was a big ass book. I make no bones about that. It was a big book.
But the thing then was give it all away.
Give it away.
And you will get results.
Yes, yes.
Give it away, give it away.
You're going to keep hitting that, aren't you?
Well, you know, until it starts to become, you know,
it's just starting to get there.
Starting?
But yeah, the big thing was give everything away and you will reap the results.
Now, what were those results?
Yeah, I think that was the question.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, everyone was like, give it away and you reap the results. And the question was, what exactly are the results? And I think they're different for everybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole thing about me doing Moravi as a podcast, one, it had never been done before. And I wanted to be that Neil Armstrong. I wanted to be that guy that said, when it came to this movement, I was the first. I was the first to step up and do this. And even Evo said that was a big book. And Michael R. Menengay back in the day, he was like, that's a pretty big book. And it's a pretty big chunk of change you're looking at there time-wise. And I said, I want to do this.
And, because that's the quest. That's the thing.
People... But it was because I was doing this instead of doing Signing with Swords.
Yes.
Now, again, back in the Wayback Machine, Signing
with
Swords.
Oh, my gosh. Are we going to go back even further?
We might. Signing with Swords is what I did in 2002 to promote... Moravi's.
You were
launch.
Basically going around conventions.
No, 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 no.
No?
I was going around bookstores.
Oh, bookstores, conventions. We did, you were touring.
We did. Well, no, not, no. Signing with Swords was when I got together with Kevin and all my friends who did Stage Combat, and they played pirates that crashed my book launch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. But that was also time consuming.
And you didn't reach, I mean, how many people can you reach? They're the people in the bookstore, right?
I can tell you, the night that we launched it with Signing with Swords, I had 100 people there.
Okay, but podcasting
was bigger.
Up, yeah.
And also podcasting was different. And I wanted to do something different than the whole Signing with Swords thing that I did back in 2002. It was now 2005, and we were getting ready to launch Legacy of Moravi.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a great idea. I podcast the book right up to the opening weekend, and that was how it timed out.
I have to ask you, what did you expect you were going to get out of podcasting? What was your goal?
My goal was to promote Moravi, give a free copy of Moravi away in this audio format, in this brand new audio delivery system, and then tell people, you know, pre-order your copy of Legacy Moravi.
Okay, but were you thinking that you were building your brand or your platform or getting your name out there? Because that's a lot of what people do podcasting for, especially when they're brand new out-of-the-box writers.
Honestly, it was less about the brand. And branding and brand, the T. Morris brand, really wasn't something that I thought about until long after I had podcast Moravi. To me, this was a marketing opportunity to just do free advertising for the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people said, ooh, I loved this story, I want more, I go, well, guess what? Legacy Moravi just came out, order on Amazon. And that's what I started doing.
You were really building your brand even though you didn't think about it consciously.
Even though I didn't know that's what I was doing, yes. Now, what set me apart from Mark Jeffrey and Scott Sigler, what set the three of us apart was Mark was podcasting a book that he had self-published, it was young adult, and he was trying to use the podcast to promote the book.
Whereas Scott had never had his book published at all, so yeah.
And he was just throwing it out there for free to get people hooked and then hopefully launch something bigger.
Now, for Scott, that did translate into a 5-book deal with Crown Publishing.
It did.
So everybody was looking at Scott and going, this is it.
That's the mother
This
one.
Is what I will that's do. I will one. Follow in Scott's footsteps. Now, to be honest,
Here we are. How many years later?
Six, seven years later?
8 years later.
Eight years later.
And I still remember I still remember both the friends of mine and the, let's just call them as we see them, the douchebags of at that time new media, all talking about how old media will crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Old media is going to fall. iTunes finally recognizes what we're doing in podcasting. Yeah. That's why they're recognizing us, and that's why...
I remember being on a lot of podcasts back then, and people were saying, well, what's the future of podcasting in 5 years?
And that's when
it's kind of gone how I imagined it would be, in that now it's dominated largely by large corporations.
HBO, yeah. ESPN.
They're the big players. Know. It used to be back in the day, you would see Scott, you would see Mark, you would see Chris Lester. Yeah.
You see Chris. You'd see people that you knew.
In the top.
And that was part of the community.
It was nice. It was nice to go on there and see your stuff on. But now I don't think you can go on there and see.
You can't under literature. If you go under literature. But now you would be lucky if you saw a Skate Pod featured on the main page.
Yeah.
You would be lucky if you saw Skepticality. And these are all podcasts that at one time, they were all on the main page.
And the other thing is, as much as we love Scott, and it apparently is working for him, we haven't seen anybody else carve the same path.
There has been no follow-up. There has been no big follow-up since Scott Sigler.
I mean, for me personally, the podcasting thing got my name out there, which is what I wanted.
Sure.
People
sure.
to know about me, because I was in the bottom of the world.
Right.
Little place called Hobbiton.
Called Hobbiton.
But when I got to the publishing side of things, it wasn't, how should I think, phrase it? It wasn't as important and awesome for the publisher as I thought it might have been.
You wanted to have your voice heard.
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. You change your number. I mean, I'm not going to be ignored.
And podcasting worked for you.
No, well, podcasting.
Don't go upstairs boiling
your
rabbits.
Shut up, Boris. Podcasting worked for me to an extent. It didn't blow the lid off the publishing world for me. It wasn't like they hunted me down and said, hey, we've heard your podcast and we know you've got a following. We've got to have you. What happened when I got to the signing stage with Ace was, okay, so tell us about your platform and what you're doing. And, oh, okay, well, tell me how many listeners you've got in your podcast. So to say that podcasting got me into publishing, yes and no.
Right.
Not a total slam dunk for podcasting.
And I'm going to be the first one to say that that's why we still podcast. Mm. I mean, we podcast because we love it.
Mm.
But I just remember at that the onslaught of douchebaggery at the last back then called the Podcast and Portable Media Expo, New Media Portable Pod, whatever they were calling it in that last year. When all these people were talking about how we were going to take down new media.
Yeah, there was a lot of big talk going on.
Big
and I have
talk.
To say, we are talking here about our little sphere of the podosphere, which is the podcast fiction.
Award. I'm not just talking about podcast fiction. I'm just talking about podcasting in general.
Well, I'm sort of, my personal thing is the podcast fiction sphere. I can't really talk.
The big question is, yeah, I know. But the big question that
I don't feel
have,
informed enough to talk about the podosphere, the larger podosphere.
Yeah. And I mean, and looking back 5 years, looking back at that last portable media expo that was in it was the last one.
Yeah,
not,
no,
not the one in Vegas, not the one in Vegas,
no,
the one before that,
the one I missed.
The one that was in California. You know, they all believed this is the ticket. And
so did the people that were in the .com before the bubble burst.
No kidding.
I mean,
And the other thing too is that the social media douchebags, they really don't talk a lot about podcasting.
No.
They talk up blogging and they talk up Facebook because it's easy.
But we've talked about that before, because podcasting isn't as easy as blogging or
exactly.
any other kind of social
it's,
media.
It's a lot harder to swipe other people's
The only thing
material.
Harder than this is video podcasting.
Right. And even then, you know, I mean, look at people like League of Steam. Mm. Technically, you could call them video podcasters, even though they don't really podcast. They work. They put it up on YouTube. Now, I believe you can still
subscribe to a YouTube
exactly.
channel.
So you can subscribe to League of Steam. So yes, they in a sense they are video podcasting. But the thing is, they had to do a Kickstarter to fund their second season.
And but it worked.
Oh, and their second season kicked ass. I mean,
however, getting back to audio,
LeagueofSteam.com. But going back to audio and going back to the circles we've been talking about. The thing about what I, at least from my perspective, what I was doing was, it was part of a bigger plan.
I've got a plan so cunning you could put a tail on it and call it a weasel.
And it's always been part of my plan. I believe that podcasting.
I want to ask you a question then. I'm going to point the finger at you. As one of the founders of Podio Books, are you disappointed with how podcast fiction is going?
Oh, wow. Am I disappointed? Wow.
Would you have, if you could go back in your Wayback Machine and get T. Morris 2006, would he be surprised that there haven't been more breakouts from podcast fiction?
No. Because if the T. Morris of today went back to T. Morris of, let's not even go back to 2005, let's go back to 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Why was I podcasting Billabub Badney's In the Case of the Singing Sword? The book was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do something fun. I wanted to do something different. And I genuinely enjoyed doing Billy Battings. I genuinely enjoyed that. And it introduced Billabub to a lot of people. And when that wrapped, it timed not super close, but Billy was still on everybody's minds and in everybody's earbuds when Pitcher's Pendant came out.
Okay. So and it was good then at the time. It was what you needed.
Now,
would you podcast the rest of Billy, the second book? Because I know you've been asked that before.
No. And I will tell you why.
What is different now than then?
Well, no. If I had that way, I need to have a I do have a TARDIS sound effect. If I got into my personal TARDIS, if I went back in time, I'm gonna have to isolate that. If I went back in time and saw the Team Wars of 2007, I would say, you know what, the thing with Billy, that's your swan song. Stop there.
Enjoy it.
Stop there for long form fiction. Because you are going to get so burned out when you do Moravi Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, Moravi Remastered, that was a labor of love. Little less love, more on labor.
Enjoy doing podcast fiction.
Yeah, and we still
but
enjoy
the,
it.
But just the thing is, and I'm agreeing with Jake on this one, is that when it starts to go from a hobby to the way you're supporting your family.
Right.
You have got to look long and hard
right.
at the return on investment. I mean, people right. hate that ROI thing.
But it's true. And it especially applies to, and which is why I think corporations, speaking as a social media professional, a lot of corporations can't justify. They cannot justify
spending
that much time on it. And
because time is money.
Yeah, because time is money. And
even for an individual,
right.
you know.
Because right.
all the hours that we spend putting sound effects and mixing voices and stuff is time that we're not writing.
Exactly, and going back to the whole 2007 Case of the Singing Sword versus Moravian Remastered. Case of the Singing Sword was a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
and it was new, and it was a great way to promote Case of the Pitcher's Pendant. When I did Moravian Remastered. I will be honest. It was just so I could continue being King of the Mountain, so that I could continue trying to push the boundaries, so I could continue keeping my name out there in a podosphere. When I was done, I realized how much time I had lost.
Yeah.
And then when I thought to my when I was telling people, oh yeah, and I'm going to podcast Legacy of Moravi. By the time I was done with Moravi Remastered, I said I have no desire to do Legacy of Moravi.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I really have no desire to do Case of the Pitcher's Pendant because the Billabub Battings series, as much as I enjoyed writing it,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have a home. It's out there so that people can have it. I mean, I make no bones about it. It's out there both in podcast form and we're selling it in a collection on Amazon.com. But I really don't have the drive because now I've got to focus on the stuff that's yeah. pain.
I think there's also a certain amount of, and I think this feeds into the whole movement of the podcast fiction. You can't afford to look back.
No, you know, you can't.
As a professional, which is what you and I are, is right now.
and I'm gonna also throw out some other things
too. Hey, let me finish my thought, Morris.
You're just lucky you have a sexier voice than me. Anyway, go ahead, baby.
But my idea was that you've totally destroyed my thought now.
Well, then let me try to put you onto my train of thought because we did talk about this. And we've talked about it before. I think also one of the big downfalls of podcasting your fiction is believing that your audience is automatically going to be there.
Yeah.
And that they're just going to pick it up and then they're going to tell other people about it. Now, once upon a time, I think people did do that. I think people were, you know, going viral and things like that. But now, I don't think it's like that anymore. And also to count on an audience that's getting the milk for free and then telling them to buy
the
cow.
And then you'd say, come and buy my cow.
Yeah. I mean, no.
It's not guaranteed. And I think that's fair enough because there is no contract which says, I'm giving you this something, so you must give me something in your return. You are giving it, you've got to give it openly with no expectation of return.
And on top of that, you cannot blame your fans if your titles don't go gangbusters.
No, because you're not giving away your fiction and saying, if you download on this, then this is a contract between us that when I ask you to buy something, you will. There is no such contract.
And people have said that about the Ministry.
Yeah.
People have said that, well, aren't you guys going to podcast the Ministry? No. Why not? because that's not our call.
It's an audible file.
Yeah.
Go forth and buy.
Go forth and buy.
But we are giving stuff away. I mean, it's not like, I don't think
is where we come into where free works.
Yeah. I don't think abandoning free is the way to go.
I don't think abandoning podcasting is to go.
No, I think you need to examine what you can give away for free with, you know, the best return on investment that you're not afraid. Like we were talking to G. Marie Ward, giving away something of which you couldn't use anyway is the best way to go. Like, we're giving away the Tales of the Archives. It's not like we're going to get a print anthology deal from Ace.
No, we're not.
Well, maybe not right now. So it's for me, the Tales of the Archives are fun and interesting. They give us a real energy and a dynamic to the story. But are they selling books? Possibly.
I think they are promoting the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences brand.
They are. Yes.
I would say that for sure.
But I mean, you know, I've used this before. As far as I'm concerned, the whole free model, you don't flip your skirt over your head. You raise your skirt so they can see the ankle, and if they want to buy,
exactly.
If they want to see more, they got to buy the knee.
Exactly.
And I think that people were a little naive to think it was going to work for everybody, because there's not going to be a solution for everybody.
And before people start throwing out, well, Cory Doctorow gives his stuff away for free, and he's a New York Times bestseller. Well, you know, John Scalzi, he gives his stuff away.
Yeah.
He gave his stuff. Well, hold on. Let's back up a bit. First off, John Scalzi, yes, he did give away Old Man's War. To the best of my knowledge, that's the only novel he has given away. I'm sure he has given away short stories.
Well, that's part of his plan, I guess.
That's part of his plan, probably. And yes, Scott has given away The Rookie. Scott has given away a lot of free fiction. And you know what? More power to him if it's working for Scott. As far as Cory Doctorow is concerned, the man is more, at least from when I hear people talk about him, I rarely hear people talk about his fiction. I hear people talking more about his involvement with Boing Boing, his involvement with EFF. Now, that does not mean people don't talk about his fiction before anybody jumps down my throat on that. I'm sure he's brilliant. I've heard some of his short fiction, and I'm thinking it's pretty good. I mean, you know, does his fiction speak to me? No. But like Merle Lafferty's short fiction speaks to me. It's because of her short fiction, podcasting, that got me listening to Merle Lafferty, her essays, and then eventually her short fiction. And then when she started doing long fiction, yeah, I really enjoyed it. But I'm not going to speak for Mer. But I did notice that Mer is no longer doing long form fiction anymore.
Mm.
The ROI is really hard to justify. Now, all that being said, you know, what about Tales from the Archives? Okay, Tales from the Archives, that's fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are giving us their audio and saying, make it sound like Chasing the Bard, make it sound like Moravi, make it sound like Billy. And we juice it up.
Yeah,
and
I mean, when you do a chapter a week of a story, that is
it's a long road. It's a long road. It's a long
a lot
process.
Of hours.
But do I think that Tales from the Archives works as part of a larger marketing plan? Absolutely. Because the people who I know for a fact, we probably got some new listeners from Tales from the Archives this weekend
mm-hmm.
when we went to Matacon. Because there were people in our panels who had never read our books, and there were a couple people there who had read both books. And I said, you know, for you who've read the book, you're going to get to hear the backstory of Wellington Books. You're going to hear the backstory of what brought Eliza from New Zealand to England. And for those of you who haven't, you get introduced to the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, and if you enjoy it, you go right.
So,
into the
but
books.
What we're saying is, we're basically happy with giving away the tales.
Absolutely,
but we're not going to be doing long fiction.
No, we're not going to do long fiction. I believe that giving something away for free works if it's part of a bigger plan. But the whole idea of giving away free novels. No, I'm just not going
to. So here's the question I have to you, because I'm sure there's.
And then we're going
to
wrap up.
Yes, then we'll give this away. So, you're a young author starting off. You've got your first novel. Do you podcast it?
No,
you don't.
No, you do not, because the time that you would need to podcast, and it pains me to say that, because I'll give a good example. The Heaven Field. I've really enjoyed The Heaven Field, and the guy kept the production very simple on it, but it sounds great. Very compelling story. This is on podiobooks.com. But the problem I have with that is that if he wants to try to market that based on previous experience with, you know, with Scott Sigler, he's the only one that made even the slightest of dents
in New York Publishing.
I don't think New York Publishing is, and especially at the they're on tenderhooks right now. I mean, now we've got 50 Shades of Alice.
Don't even start on the 50
not
Shades
crap. Not yet.
Do not start on that 50 Shades crap. However, okay.
But where I'm getting at is that, yes, I think that if you want to market yourself, build your brand, start a short story podcast. Or if you've got something like Weaver's Web, like let's say you have a Weaver's Web in your desk, but you just finished your first novel and you feel really good about that first novel. Go back to that one that's sitting in the desk that you know has no chance whatsoever. You wrote it just to make sure you could write it. Like a nano.
So what you're
like
saying
that.
Is that an author, a new author, should publish their first novel once they've written their second.
Once they've written their second, yes, they should go on ahead and they should start working on their novel. But if they want to build themselves a brand so they can they can market the novel to an agent a little easier. Then start a short story podcast. Start a podcast about being a writer.
Yeah.
And
well, that's worked for Moya.
Yeah. That worked for her.
She's got a great listenership.
I'll be the first one to say, I think it worked for me. Mm-hmm. I think it worked for me, and I think it worked for you, and I think it's working for us. We're giving people a backstage look at what we're doing right now. But would I say, oh yeah, podcast your first novel? I know I said that once upon a time, full disclosure. Between 2005 and 2007, I was saying, podcast your novel. But not anymore.
So what we're saying is we're not mad, because I've seen this on Facebook as well. We're not mad at Jake.
No.
We are not. We understand.
We're not mad at Jake. We're not mad at Hutch. We're not mad at Matt Wallace. Yeah. We're not mad at anybody
who's not podcasting. Like anything in life, times change.
Times change. And sometimes you just kind of wake up and go, wow, okay. And I can also speak from experience. There was there were some people that approached me. They wanted me to do a podcast for them. I said, take your lowest selling audiobook, release that as a podcast. And they were very condescending to me. And they were like, they were like, you just don't understand audio production. And I looked at them and I said, I guess I don't. And so I said, if you guys want to go ahead and do your own podcast, do it. And they tried. And they made it a few episodes. And suddenly they looked at each other and they were like, wow.
This is hard.
This is really hard. Gee, T was right. And I'm not here to say that I was right. I'm here to say that times and experience change a person.
Yeah.
And I love podcasting. If I didn't love podcasting, we wouldn't be doing this podcast right now.
Nah.
If I didn't love podcasting, I wouldn't be saying we need to get Tales from the Archives back on track. But the upcoming Ministry Protocol anthology that we're working on.
That takes precedence.
The Janus Affair, that's a priority. Dawn's Early Light, when the edits start coming in, that takes priority. I just cannot see myself podcasting anything any long form fiction in the future.
So the question is, are there going to be more people dropping off?
Yeah, I think there are.
Yeah.
And I think it's already happening. I mean, when was the last time we got some? I mean, let's face it. Chris Lester is a wordsmith.
Yeah.
I loved his work in Metamore City. When was the last time we heard a Metamore City podcast?
Yeah.
What about Dan Sawyer? Dan Sawyer.
Dan's writing a lot of e-books.
He's cranking those things out like a machine, and good on him. But when was the last time we got another installment
almost seems like people get some success in other fields, and then the podcasting really has to be sacrificed.
Well, because you look at the time invested, and you go, I got to get this done first because that's what's bringing in the
bank. But you and I are going to keep podcasting.
Of course we are.
But.
Seriously?
Seriously. Seriously, you just cut me off.
Yes.
Bitch.
Because every time I try, I've tried to wrap this thing up three times, then you go, you got the Lou Anders vibe happening. All right, now listen to me here. Listen to me. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a fascinating subject. So are we talking about seriously free stuff now?
No, we're not talking about seriously free stuff. We're
so what's the seriously, seriously?
Oh, come on.
Oh, that.
Ripped from the headlines.
Oh, do we have to really talk about this woman?
This is when I should have the Law and Order sound effect. I know I've got it in here somewhere.
I don't really want.
Yes.
Seriously, we have to talk about
50 Shades. E.L. James has some writing advice to share.
Oh,
it's hard to top the actual news on this one. E.L. James, the author of the blockbuster mommy porn trilogy known as 50 Shades, is publishing a writing guide. 50 Shades of Grey, Inner Goddess, a journal. Will combine professional advice from the million-selling author and lined page for readers to set down their own ideas or inner goddess.
I think I'm going to puke.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
I am.
Hell no.
I am astounded. I am absolutely astounded.
Do you know? You know these
arrogance behind this woman. All right.
No, it's just a naked power money grab.
Of course it is.
They're just making money on
it. Of course it is.
I believe Stella Price's words when she read this were, "I want to get off this planet." I feel the same.
I thought they were
bite my sweet ass. Right.
I mean,
well, that's what.
And
that's
it is
E.L.
James. I mean. But no, I mean, okay, first off, full disclosure again, because it is podcasting. Back in 2003.
Are we in the Wayback Machine again?
We're in the Wayback Machine again. Can't get rid of that damn Wayback Machine. A bunch of us that were on a writer's group said, hey, a couple of us have some bylines, a couple of us are book critics, and a couple of us are aspiring authors, and that's my microphone. And a couple of us have contracts coming out. Why don't we write a writer's guide, all of us? So a bunch of us got together, and we wrote what was then called The Complete Guide to Writing Fantasy.
Yeah.
And we sold it to Dragon Moon Press, and then it became so popular.
I'm waiting for the neckties to come into this.
Yeah. It became so popular, we did Complete Guide to Writing Fantasy,
and they're still going.
Too. Oh, yeah.
They're still
selling. It's an entire series of extremely successful books.
How does that...
I'm getting there. So someone who shall not be named, who shall go unnamed, was approached to write our foreword. And instead, he passed the manuscript of it to his wife, who was also prominent in the business. She proceeded then to go on her blog on LiveJournal and trash us and say extremely snarky things, stir up the pot. But then
like basically, what do you guys know?
Yeah, yeah. And what have you guys done to legitimize this? Now, the fallback position that we took was that one, in the first book, yes, we were going for the basics. Second book, though, we had people with street cred. We had Will McDermott, who had done a whole bunch of tie-ins to games. We had me. At that time I had both Moravia and Billy under my belt. And then this was for the second book. And then we had Kim Headley, who had done some Aetherian fantasies. We had Wen Spencer, who is an award winner in her own right. So we had street cred for the second book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm also the first one to say, though, that the idea of doing writing guides, of doing guides of any kind, you got to have the cred to back it up. You got to be able to back up that swagger.
You know what people could say about her?
Yeah,
she sold a butt ton of books.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
To be devil's advocate.
You know what I could also say about E.L. James?
These are some racist motherfucking zombies.
Just lining up to buy whatever she's tacking her name on. Yes, she has sold a lot of books. But selling a lot of books and giving writing advice, I think Chuck Wendig said it best today. E.L. James writing a book on writing is like McDonald's writing a cookbook. Okay.
That's true.
I mean, yes, E.L. James is...
I think I'd be more interested in reading a marketing guide that the marketing person about E.L. James.
If E.L. James wrote a book about marketing books, I would buy it in a heartbeat. Because let's face it, she played that game very, very well. But the audacity of her to say, "I am qualified to write a book on write a book about how to." How many years had Terry Brooks been writing before he wrote his books, his memoirs on writing? How about Stephen effing King? But E.L. James, after three mommy porn books, decides I'm good enough.
The weird thing is in this announcement, it says it's going to have lined.
It says
so you can write in
lined
it?
Pages for readers to set down their own ideas.
For goodness sake, you better just buying a school, a school book size and just writing your own stuff.
Hip rage.
Bite my sweet ass. Right.
You've forgotten all of our drop-ins.
I have forgotten the drop-ins. I'm actually not that much into Pip Rage. I am just into Pip exhaustion on this woman. I just want her to go away.
It just
stop cropping up in my feed.
I know. And it is a money play. It's nothing but a money play. But I mean,
she'll be bringing out a cookbook next.
No, they already did that. Oh, they already did the 50. I remember seeing the 50 Shades of Grey book. The 50 Shades of Grey.
Because this woman doesn't have enough money.
They did the 50 Shades of Grey board game. The 50 Shades of Grey.
I am bored by it.
Yes, but the part that just really blows my mind is that
not the inner goddess bit.
No, not even the inner goddess bit. Which
makes me want
to puke. Which is pretentious to begin with, but the idea that she's like, oh, okay, I want to. You know what I want to read on? I want to read her research. You listen to this lady. She is as vanilla as the low-carb ice cream in our freezer right now. And you're telling me that she's going to do a chapter on research and how important it is. How did she research the lifestyle?
Well, I believe...
You know people in the lifestyle, and they were looking at this book like it was the worst thing on the planet because they're like, the heroine is trying to fix the guy.
Yeah.
You don't fix people in this lifestyle.
Well, the whole thing with Twilight and
T-Rage.
The whole thing with Twilight and the mommy porn is that they're not actually YA or about BDSM. They're romance novels with the spice of BDSM sprinkled in.
Yeah,
in a safe way.
I'm sorry. The spice. All right, look. I'm just going to come out and say this because I'm going to call out any of the women in this neighborhood who might
they won't
be listening.
Listen to us.
I know they won't listen to us, but the women in our neighborhood who gather for card night with my lovely wife over here, if they want quality smut, eroticaalacarte.com. Because
I have to bite my tongue every time they mention.
I know you do. I know you do.
Least Pip Rage erupt over them like a volcano.
I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Note to self, need to order more henchmen. Good ones this time.
So anyway, I mean the
I'm just exhausted by this story. It just makes me sad.
It really makes me sad too because
you know it's going to sell.
It's going to sell like freaking hotcakes. I admit there is a morbid. I will not torrent it. I will not torrent this book. But there's a morbid part of me that wants to buy it.
I'm not buying it.
That wants to buy it and read it just so I can go on my blog and laugh at today's, even start up a new blog section. Today's stupid piece of advice from E.L. James. This woman doesn't know marketing. She does know marketing. She knows marketing. But are you going to tell me she knows research? Are you going to tell me she knows character development? Are you going to tell me she knows dialogue?
No.
So happy trail? Does she understand narration?
Description, narration, dialogue. It's all very foreign.
And
maybe she's going to get someone to ghostwrite it for her.
No. Well, I know Orson Scott Card is available.
Bada bing. Anyway, so I'm sorry, Stella. I want to get off the planet with you as well. This makes me very sad for the human race and the future of writing.
I promise we're going to smooth out the levels in later podcasts.
Sorry, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean,
So what are we doing now?
Well, I mean, like I said, well, right now they're all recovering because...
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition!
I had it right there and I missed it.
Off.
I know, I'm sorry. So anyway...
Are we doing a wrap-up of what we're up to?
Yeah, this is the wrap up.
Oh, God, this could be a while.
No, I don't think it's going to be a while. I mean, well, actually, the next podcast you're going to hear you're gonna get an insight on the people, on the incredible people we're dealing with, because we do have a recorded shared desk, but I didn't want that to be the shared desk that we came back with.
Okay.
We have a shared desk that in two
where we
weeks
talk, where we talk about the anthology.
Where we talk about the anthology.
The ministry initiative.
The ministry in, well, the anthology is called Ministry Protocol: Thrilling Tales of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, and that's the anthology. Then we have the Ministry Initiative, which is not only the name of the RPG coming from Galileo Games.
Booyah.
But that is also the name of our Kickstarter, which we will be kickstarting
in May.
In May. So
hold on to your panties.
Please, please budget your funds so that you can give, because we're going to be asking.
We're going to be asking for help.
Well, we're going to be asking for help.
But
to
we're
make
also going to be giving you stuff.
We're going
to
give you
of
stuff.
The people we have with,
yep.
They're so cool. I can't tell you.
Yeah, I
Sorry.
Know. But you're going to get some insight there. We can tell them at least about who's involved. I mean, J.R. Blackwell's involved. P.J. Schneider is involved. Jared Axelrod is.
Leah Renee Hebler.
Yeah, Leanna Renee Hebler. I mean, we got great people involved in here. So we're very excited about the level of talent that's coming in for not just the anthology, but also for the game as well.
It's going to be great. Have we mentioned our new publication date?
No, we have not. At least not on the shared desk. We've mentioned it on Facebook.
I think we can mention it here. So the third book of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, which is going to be called, so far, Dawn's Early Light, is coming in December, which is nice. They bumped us forward.
They bumped us forward.
Which
so,
is nice, because you know, we were expecting it was going to be next year, which is an unfortunately sized gap.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be the Ministry Initiative, and then shortly after for Christmas, you can buy all your friends Dawn's Early Light.
Right. And we'll also probably start up the third season.
We are going to finish this season first before we start talking about third season.
We've got two, possibly three stories, maybe even four, remaining in the second volume of Tales from the Archives. And I'm just going to go out and throw this out there, too. The reason why a lot of this stuff has been hopped off the rails of late was 6 months ago, I started a brand new job, and last month I lost it.
It was
taken from me in a rather unscrupulous manner.
Let's just lay this out here. If you're looking for a social media guy, if you're looking for a guy to give talks, if you're looking for a guy to tell you about how to grow awesome hair, then T. Morris is for hire.
I thought you were going to say Phil Rossi. He's got some beautiful hair.
I don't know if he's for hire, though.
No, that's true. But I am for hire.
Go to ImagineThatStudios.com. Check out what we've got available.
We actually have two links on there now that I want to point out to the writers that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is workshops and seminars. If you know of a convention that's coming to your area, if you are an organizer of convention like Authors After Dark or Romantic Times or otherwise, and you're looking for people to talk about social media specifically for writers
and creatives,
then please take a look at some of the workshops and seminars that I have to offer. And if you're looking for something even more niche or even more specific, please contact me. I'm later this month doing a LinkedIn seminar.
So you can make stuff up for them. You can arrange.
I arrange and make stuff up because that is what I do.
The other thing we're thinking about moving into.
The other thing we're doing is we're also providing social media services for creatives.
If you're haven't got enough time, too busy podcasting and writing and
Thomas Williford, Brute Force Leather. if you want somebody to take your social media and run it for you
and make it work and not make it a cold clinical thing that drives people away.
Right.
I'm looking at like 50% of the people who are following me on Twitter, who tried following me on Twitter lately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on ahead. If you want me to be your voice on Facebook, Twitter, heck, I'll even do Instagram if I can. I'd be more than happy to hire my services out to you. And that is because
so you can contact you on the Imagine That Studios site.
Yes. There are many different ways that you can contact me. Of course, there's
you're all over Google, right?
I'm all over Google. You can contact me on Google Plus.
You can find me on LinkedIn.
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook, both at T. Morris as well as the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences page. Make sure to give us a like there. You can also find me on Twitter at T. Monster, and it's IT
Studios.
No. ITS Publishing.
Oh, yes, ITS Publishing.
It's ITS underscore publishing.
Yes.
I think I might have to start running our Imagine That Studios account because the woman who is supposed to be running it is
busy counting the numbers. Anyway, so we've got that going on. We're also submitting some proposals to Laurie.
Yep.
Did you want to mention?
I'll go ahead and mention that.
I'm just talking broad generalizations.
Darkwater. Project
Darkwater.
So you got
the three chapters.
I got four chapters done.
Oh, booyah to you.
Booyah to me. So I got four chapters done, and after a nice, clean edit, we will then be turning those over to the phenomenal, the amazing, the machine that is Laurie McLean of...
Forward Literary. Which is our... That's another thing that happened.
Yep.
Well, I'm turning over to her a 1920s magical, think Downton Abbey meets Harry Dresden. Anyway, so that's what I'm turning over to her.
I've taught her well. But
Laurie McLean has formed her own agency, and we followed her over to there. She's
This agency will be rolling in Bitches and Benjamins. Oh, wait, that's
it's only been 2 weeks.
That's Downton Abbey Breaking Bad.
Yeah, no. So she's taking the reins of her own destiny and ours too, and she's going to be propelling forward. It's going to be an interesting 6 months. She's going to be working hard at new and exciting things for all of us, her authors and business contacts. Yeah. We're doing that. We're working slowly on the Diamond Conspiracy. We're looking at some of the characters that we want to pull in from the Tales from the Archives, which is now a very rich tapestry.
Yeah.
I think we want to bring in.
I like to think that we are going to be bringing everything to a boiling point. I don't know.
Although
if we'll
there
be
could
wrapping
still be
up.
A book. No, we're wrapping up a certain aspect of it.
We're wrapping
the
up
ministry
a certain...
will continue.
Yes,
if it needs be.
Yes,
and we hope the needs be.
We hope the needs be. Boy, holy, we hope. The needs be.
And come December, we'll be calling on you to help us make the needs
absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely.
And is that wow? And we're getting April off from conventions.
Yeah, April's off.
The unfortunate demise of the Steampunk Industrial Revolution.
But we are
on the plus side.
On the plus side,
Sonic Boom was very happy that we were gonna.
Yes,
we're still at the stage where she's glad that we're hanging around.
We know that's
when she's a teenager, she's gonna be really. You're not going to the convention, but and then to all her friends, like, sorry, they're staying.
Calling off the party. I would love it if she was going, oh, cool, my parents are in town. Dad's spinning tunes. Not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
So the next event for us this year
coming up
is
Up in the Ether. Detroit, first time. Going to be interesting. Looking
Up in the Ether. You can find them on Facebook and out there. I believe it's, I think it's UITA.org.
Okay. And then, of course, we've got Octopodicon, DragonCon.
You always forget.
Authors After Dark.
And you always forget Contemporal.
Which is the one straight after.
Yes.
So we're going to be seeing...
Yeah, but the program, Valentine.
I'm not reading anything. You've got the computer in front of you. Okay,
And what do I have in front of me? I have my...
Haven't you guys missed us in this? I'm sure they're delighted. It's not a couples cast. I always say that on panels.
I know the ladies have missed me.
Chicks dig me. Because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
I know they do.
I think you just got a lot of people to stop listening right there.
Well, what we're going to do for this for the end of this shared desk, I want to go on ahead and end with because I just realized something. We were going to do a holiday episode.
Which holiday?
Christmas. And we were going to talk about holiday.
Which Christmas?
Yeah, and we were going to do holiday writing, and I was going to close with this song, so... Because I know there have been some people that have been wondering about the status of Crazy Uncle Charlie. So I wanted to go on ahead.
I haven't been.
Yeah, I know you haven't. We're going to close out with some music. But I did want to say, before we did, that the Shared Desk is a non-commercial, no derivatives, share-alike 3.0 United States license and is protected by Creative Commons. You can find out more at creativecommons.org.
I think you missed the attribution.
No, I didn't.
Play the song!
Really can't stay.
What are you talking about, baby? It's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
They call me crazy. It's cold outside. Come on.
This evening has been...
With me and my harem?
So very nice.
Very, very nice indeed. Let me take your hands. My God, they're like ice. And now my nipples are hard.
My mother will I'll start to worry.
Oh, but Scribe, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
But listen to that fireplace roar. Look in the flames.
So really, I'd better scurry.
No, Scribe, please, don't hurry.
But maybe just a half a drink more.
I'll put on my special DVDs while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Thinking is overrated. Don't mind them.
Charlie, what's in this drink?
It's just ice, my dear. Don't mind the taste.
I wish I knew how.
My God, you're a beautiful woman. I'll take your hat, your shoes, whatever garments you feel like throwing at me.
I ought to say no, no.
Mind if I move in a little closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Don't mind the smell of cheese. It's all natural.
I really can't stay.
Scribe, no, please. Don't hold out.
Oh, but it's cold.
It's very, very cold outside. I want you to take a look through that window at that Mayan apocalypse of snowfall that's happening. But here, in the Fortress of Charlie, you are safe. Trust me, Scribe.
I simply must go.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
Charlie, no still means no.
An answer I respect for all of 5 seconds.
This welcome has been...
With me and my harem?
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm. Now look at me. Now look at the storm. Now look back at me.
My sister will be suspicious.
Oh, but I had your sister. She's a little odd.
My brother will be there at the door.
Which is a shame, because now he's buried in snow.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Oh, I do love that vicious side of you.
Maybe just a cigarette more.
Why, look, I have one. I rolled myself.
I've got to get home.
No! Maybe it's cold outside.
Say, lend me your rope.
Okay.
No, wait, leave that on.
Fine, we'll work around it.
You've really been grand.
It has been grand.
But don't you see?
Don't you see this F-18 of awesome that is standing in front of you right now?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Talk is a lot like me. It's cheap. Don't worry
At
about it.
At least there will be plenty implied.
Implied? Yes, we can apply anything that your heart
really
desires.
Really can't stay.
I got peanut butter. I got chocolate. I got caramel. I got KY. I've got WD-40. I've got Vaseline. I've got anything
Charlie,
you want. Because, Scribe, you gotta listen to me. It's cold outside. It's very, very cold outside. But in the sanctuary of Charlie, you, me, and the harem, you will finally find yourself ensconced in the bubble of affection that you've been searching for desperately all your life. Duh, winning.